I speak to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. I really love making to-do lists. I love thinking about all the things I need to get done for the day or for the week, collecting them all in one handy list, and having the satisfaction of crossing them off one by one. It's the best feeling. I love it so much, in fact, that I recently downloaded this app on my phone, which turns your to-do list into a video game of sorts. So as you complete tasks, your character gets stronger and gets more points and gets money to buy things in the game. It's really great. I recommend it. It's helped me a lot, at least. And I imagine a lot of you are similar. You like to-do lists. If you're New Yorkers, if there's one thing I know about you, it's that you're very busy. You have a lot to get done. And as Episcopalians, one thing I know about us as a church is that we like things done the right way. We like things done decently, properly, and in order. We like to know the correct steps to take in order to do something. So it's probably no surprise that when we hear the Beatitudes, which is this list of Jesus proclaiming who is blessed, who will inherit the kingdom, we hear it as a to-do list, as a list of tasks for us to accomplish. If that's how we hear these, if that's our mindset of what the Beatitudes are, we will quickly realize that the Beatitudes are a very difficult to-do list to complete. We're to be hungry and poor and thirsty and reviled and defamed for Christ's sake. That's a tough bar to meet. That's a difficult to-do list to complete. So we think about ways in which this to-do list doesn't maybe apply to us. Maybe it's a to-do list for the spiritually elite, for the saints, for those dedicated to the religious life, while the rest of us work in our secular vocations. Or perhaps it's hyperbolic. It's an intentionally onerous to-do list meant to convict us of our inadequacy and our sin before the law. Or maybe it's a to-do list in which the items on it to do are spiritualized. What it really means to say the poor are blessed is that those who don't cling overly to material possessions are blessed. Those who hunger and thirst really means that those who desire God, who thirst for God, are to be blessed. But what I want to bring to you all today is that the Beatitudes are not a list of things for us as individuals to accomplish, but a description of a community. They're not prescriptions for us as individuals, but a description of the community gathered around Christ and sustained by Christ. Notice the form that they come to us as. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who weep, for they shall laugh. Not blessed are the poor, so go become poor, and then you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Not blessed are those who weep, so go and weep, and then you will be filled with laughter. Jesus is describing the sorts of people that his kingdom is good news for. Some of those groups who he's addressing, those who are poor, those who weep, those who are defiled for his sake. As one commentator puts it, it's almost as if Christ is saying, some of you out there are poor. Good for you, because the kingdom of heaven is coming and will bring good news for you. Some of you out there hunger and thirst. Well, I have good news for you, because you'll be filled with food and your thirst will be quenched. It's a description, not a prescription. And it's a description of a particular community gathered around Christ. Christ has gone into this level plane to give his sermon. It's probably more familiar to us in Matthew's version, where he goes up onto a mount, the famous Sermon on the Mount. And as he's in this plane, a great throng of people surround him. And amongst this throng are all different sorts of people. Immediately before our text for today, Christ has picked the 12 apostles who will be the pillars of his church, of this new community that he's building. And then Luke tells us that there are those who have heard of his teaching and of his healing power and have come to receive some of that. So they're there as well. And then Luke also mentions disciples are there amongst the crowd. So people who have decided to follow this man, Jesus, and listen to his teachings and see what he's all about. And we have to imagine that there's also people there who have just heard that there's a commotion around this man, Jesus, that there's something to gawk at, to observe. They're not sure what's going on. This great throng of people is there, including the apostles and everyone from them to those who don't know what's going on, but want to catch a glimpse of what all the commotion is about. And that's to whom Jesus gives these beatitudes. That's the people which he gives these descriptions of those for whom he brings good news to. The Lutheran theologian and martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer describes this as an instance of the visible church becoming apparent in Luke's gospel. This is an image, a parable of what the church looks like. This throng of people who have all sorts of different relations to Jesus, from those called to be apostles, to those who need healing, to those who don't know quite why they're there, but all nonetheless gathered around Christ and receiving his teaching and his healing. So Jesus' Beatitudes are a description of this community gathered around him, but also, importantly, of the community that is sustained by him. If we want to read the Beatitudes as a list of things for us to accomplish, as a to-do list, to do that is to separate the Beatitudes from the one who proclaims the Beatitudes, to see it as a list we can accomplish by ourselves apart from the one who gives the Beatitudes, Christ, the incarnate God, our Lord and Savior. If we're the church gathered around Christ, in our context, that means that we're gathered around the table where Christ brings us his body. We're gathered as the church, as his body, and he is there in the midst of us, sustaining us and allowing us to bear witness to what he says in the Beatitudes. We can only bear witness to what the kind of community that Christ describes in the Beatitudes if we are sustained by him. I think here of examples like André Trocmé, who was a French Reformed pastor during World War II, and he was the pastor of this in this small community in France, in Nazi-occupied France. And because of his community's gathering around Christ and their being sustained by him, they were able to save almost 5,000 refugees, Jews and others, and allow them to escape out of France into Switzerland. It was because they were a community gathered around Christ that they were able to witness to the Beatitude, "Blessed are those who are reviled and defamed for my sake." More locally, I think of Dorothy Day, who gathered a community around Christ who stood in solidarity with the poor who are blessed, and gave witness to that beatitude and to the beatitude in Matthew of "Blessed are the peacemakers." It was only because Trocmé and Day had communities gathered around Christ, centered on Christ, and thus sustained by Christ, that they were able to bear witness to the sort of community that Christ describes in the Beatitudes. A very beautiful image of this comes out of our reading from the psalm for the day, and it's also echoed in Jeremiah. We just concluded this series on Augustine of Hippo at the 10 o'clock adult education hour with Father Patrick and Roy Sau. And Augustine, in his commentary on Psalm 1, which is the psalm that we sang for today, there's this line that the righteous are like trees that stand by streams of water. And this is echoed in Jeremiah as well, our Old Testament reading. And how Augustine reads this is as a picture of Christ and the church. The tree that stands by the stream of water is the church, and Christ is the stream which sustains that tree, sustains the church, feeds it. So whatever fruit that the tree bears is only because it's planted by the stream of water. It's Christ who allows the tree to bear any fruit. And that's a picture, I think, of what I'm trying to share with you all today of what the Beatitudes are, as a description of a community gathered around Christ and sustained by Christ. It's only because we are gathered around Christ in the church and at the table that we are able to bear fruit. So as we go forth from this place, let us pray and imagine what Christ might be calling us to as we gather around him, what sort of witness we are called to bear to him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.